Would you turn with me to the second chapter of Acts? The Holy Spirit, just this past week, has been directing me to this chapter that we are so well familiar with. But I trust the Holy Spirit will give us something. In this second chapter of Acts, we know what has happened. Jesus has ascended, and they were in the upper room praying. And the Holy Ghost fell on them, and they heard them speak in tongues, and all those Jews that had come from all over the known world to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost were there and heard all this. And some were critical, and some said they were drunk. And some didn't understand what this means. What this meant. And Peter, the most unlikely candidate to get up and preach the first sermon in the New Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant, the first one to get up and preach, began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when he got done, it says their hearts were pricked. I want to go to the 37th verse before I comment on, because I want to characterize this message this morning. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Title of this message is, Men and Brethren, What Shall We Do? Have you had a what shall we do, a what shall I do encounter with the Lord? Has he challenged you with that? Because that is the focus this morning. They were touched by the power of God, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and came to that crossroads. What shall we do? Let's go back and look at this message. Let's go back and look at what Peter said. I want to go back to the 14th verse. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I want to pause here for a moment. All these Jews had come back from the known world to celebrate from their homeland to back to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. It's amazing, it's beautiful how God's timing is perfect. Exactly, nothing happens by accident, but God had perfectly orchestrated this to happen right when all these Jews came back. And what does it say? They were praying for 10 days after Jesus had ascended. And they didn't truly know what they were praying for. But Jesus said, I'll send you the promise which you've heard of me already. And in John's gospel, he elaborates on the promise, the Holy Spirit. But how that was going to take place and how that was going to be manifested was still a mystery. But they were praying, Lord, send us your promise. And for 10 days, they tarried in the upper room. And then suddenly, they were all with one mind and one accord. And what did they hear? A sound of a rushing mighty wind. Someone I've heard someone say or characterize, when a tornado hits, it sounds like a locomotive. It sounds like a train that is churning, chugging through. They heard this sound, but there was no destruction of property. And they saw the cloven tongues of fire sit on each of them. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Things of God. The marvelous miracles and things of God and praises to Him in their native language, their homeland. They heard it in those languages, so they understood it. These Jews have never left Jerusalem, but they heard it. And it must have caused quite a stir. It must have set that city back, that they what is going on? What's taking place? A great commotion took place. They heard the sound of a rushing mighty wind. They saw the cloven tongues of fire. And they heard them speak in other tongues. It was miraculous. It was, what is going on with this? And Peter gets up and said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. And this is where he begins to tell them about Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also are known. In Luke, the 7th chapter, Luke relates what happened with Jesus. And he says to them, he hears a voice. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. When he went to John the Baptist to be baptized, he said the Spirit descended on him as a dove when he came out of the water, and they heard a voice from heaven. This is my beloved son. In Luke, the 7th chapter, it talked about the Mount of Transfiguration when Moses and Elijah appeared. And they said, let us make 3 tabernacles. And then Moses disappeared, the figure of Moses, the figure of Elijah disappeared, and the voice from heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He levels an indictment against them, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. David was prophesying of the Messiah to come from his lineage. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He's seeing this before before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. And Christ, this Christ hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. It was an intensely personal message. Not reading an essay, not beating the air with philosophical speculation, but it's like he took an arrow and aimed it right at the hearts and minds of the hearers. You saw, you heard of his miracles, approved of God, the voice we heard from heaven. Crucified, resurrected, ascended, prophesied in the Word of God. All facts. He laid it out before them. This is the Christ. Let the house of Israel assuredly know. The one who you crucified, he is both Lord and Christ. They were convicted. Now, some of these Jews weren't there when they crucified Christ. But their support of the high priest Caiaphas allowed him to be strong and force Pontius Pilate to crucify him. Pilate was a politician. And they contributed to that by their support. But not only that, we all had a hand in his crucifixion. It was because of our sin, because of our frailty, because of the sin that was in us. We all had a hand in his crucifixion. We weren't there. But surely we could have held the nails. Surely we could have wielded the hammer because of our sin. And they were convicted. John writes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And that's exactly what happened. This Peter, who was weak and impetuous, the Holy Spirit anointed him to preach this message. And they finally came to the point, they were pricked in their heart, they were touched, the power of God touched them. This is all true. What he's saying is true. What we're seeing has come to pass. What the word prophesied has right here in front of our face, we're seeing it. They heard the beautiful glory of God. They heard, they saw the miraculous Holy Spirit fall. And they had no answer until Peter preached the sermon and brought conviction upon them. That the only thing they could say, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Another instance in Acts when Saul of Tarsus was going about and crucifying the Christians, persecuting the Christians. On the way to Damascus, we know the story. A bright light shone from heaven. He was knocked off his animal, fell to the ground, blinded by the light. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." He came in contact with him. His response is, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" God is asking you and I the question, what will you do? That Philippian jailer, when Paul and Silas were thrown in jail for delivering that young damsel from an evil spirit, and they were beaten and put in stocks. At midnight, they were singing, praising God. And an earthquake hit that jail. And their chains, everything was broken and loosened. And the jailer wanted to commit suicide because he had been charged with keeping them safe. And when Paul yelled out, "Do thyself no harm," and began to talk to him, he said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Have you had that moment in your life? Well, yes, some of us have. Have you made that determination? What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do about the gospel, the truth? Are you totally sold out to him? What is going to be your response? Or what will you have me to do? Lord, let us search ourselves and say that question. Lord, what will you have me to do? Well, maybe I've taken the water baptism and I'm kind of stopped right there. And I go to church, regularly. I come to the services, but that's as far as it's gone. And the Holy Spirit is asking you, what are you going to do now? When Pilate was confronted with Christ and his wife, if you remember in the scriptures, had a dream the night before he was arraigned. And she said, "I had a dream last night, have nothing to do with this holy man." And he went through the ceremonial washing of his hands. His blood is on your hands to the Jews. And he asked them, "What shall I do with this Jesus that is called Christ?" That is a question for us every day. Every day we make a choice. Every day we, "Lord, do I choose my way? Do I choose his way? Do I choose surrender? Or do I just live my life? It's not Sunday, so I don't have to think about the Lord." Oh no. Lord, help us this morning. Help us this morning. Because there are things the Lord wants from you and from me. And the disposition of our heart ought to be, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And I want to continue on in Acts. Peter answered the question. Then Peter said unto them, 38th verse, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." He gives them the answer right then and there. Repent. 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 Feel sorry for your sin and turn away from it. Repent. Not doing penance. Not remorseful reflection. But turn around. Repent. Lord, help us to renounce all sin in our lives. Help us to examine ourselves, Lord, before you. Let our repentance go deep. Let our repentance search out every corner and nook of our life and just confess it before you. It takes courage to do that. It takes a surrendered and humble heart to get before the Lord and say, Lord, this and this and this. I've had this grudge against someone. Lord, I've had this lust in my heart. Lord, I've had these desires. Lord, I've limited you in my service. I've valued other things above you, Lord. I put you in a lower priority. You know, it takes courage to admit that before the Lord. It takes a surrendered heart. So, Lord, help us. The deeper our repentance, the greater the blessing of the Lord. The deeper we get into examining ourselves and taking back the cover on the areas of our heart that we kind of hide away. Sometimes we hide behind the fact that we've been in the Lord a long time. And we look at our history and say, well, you know, I've been serving the Lord a long time. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. But that doesn't eliminate the necessity and the need for us to look at our lives every day and say, Lord, let nothing creep in. You know how insidious the enemy works in our lives? The little things that he causes us to kind of begin to tolerate. Well, that's not so bad. That, look, compared to everything else, this is not bad at all. Maybe a lack of forgiveness. Maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us in ways that we don't recognize. I said to someone, sometimes Christians don't connect the dots. What do I mean by that? Things happen in our lives. There's turmoil. There's problems. There's issues. Maybe in our relationships, maybe in our families. Because there's an underlying sin that has to be confessed. Oh, I know these are hard words, but brother, I'm speaking to you as the Holy Spirit moves me to tell you because I'm taking my portion first. Lord, what's going on? Lord, what do I need to do? Lord, help me to examine myself. And you know, sometimes the enemy causes us to just everything go smoothly. We're blessed financially. We're blessed materially, and we think, well, that's the Lord's blessing, and surely it is. But sometimes that lulls us into saying, well, the Lord must be pleased with me. And we don't have to be persecuted to know the Lord loves us. I understand that. But Lord, help us this morning. Because the question is to ask the Lord, Lord, what will you have me to do? Am I fulfilling the calling? Am I fulfilling the mission you have called me to? Lord, you didn't die for me. You didn't shed your blood. You didn't die so I can just attend church once or twice or three times a week. You didn't die that I could have a great big IRA and have material benefits only. That's not what your purpose was. It was to save my soul. It was to bring me back out of the dark pit of hell and set my feet on the solid rock. Show me the way. Oh, hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit sometimes is intense with us. As Peter preached this message, Peter, who was denied the Lord three times, remember his behavior? He didn't want to be accused. No, don't identify me with them. I'm not like them. You must be mistaken, lady. But he got up because of the power of the Holy Spirit, anointed him to deliver a message that brought salvation, that brought conviction. What are you doing with your life? The question for you and I to be asking the Lord, Lord, what will you have me to do? Am I doing all for you? Am I pulling out all the stops? Am I totally surrendered? Or I'm kind of giving lip service. Not that we're doing anything bad. That's not what I mean. But praise God, the Lord has a surrendered, sanctified church. A church that is living in the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I say, Lord, would you help us today as we examine your word? Peter, repent. Do you in many places in the Word of God, what is the first thing it starts out with? Repent. If my people, which are called by my name, back in Chronicles, if they will repent of their sin. The churches in Asia Minor that Paul and the John the Revelator wrote about. Repent. Repent. Isn't there something that you and I could repent about today? Isn't there something if we look truly at our lives and in light of the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, please, what is it? What is it? Repent. This repentance to me is, I think, examples in the Word of God when they truly come into the presence of God. It's not just coming to a service and the pastor says, repent, and we say, Lord, forgive me. No, it's something emotional. That's something that is from heaven. It's something that just grips the very soul. When Isaiah saw the vision in the 6th chapter, he then said, I, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He saw the vision. He says, I am a man of unclean lips. There was something that just touched him to his very soul. No, it's not I went to church and they had an altar call and I just asked the Lord to forgive me. No, it was emotional. It was deep. It was deep. Oh, praise God. You see, Today is the day of salvation. Today, the Lord is calling. Today, He wants to do a work in your heart and in your soul. If you're not baptized yet, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here Peter lays it out so clearly. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The repentance comes from asking the Lord to forgive us and by faith accepting the blood of Jesus as the atonement for our sin. The baptism he's talking about is the water baptism. A new life. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit baptism, symbolic of rising to a new life, symbolic of dying to the old life, rising to the new life. The remission of sins. My sins have been forgiven. They've been remitted. They're gone. Because of the blood of Jesus, they're gone. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, just as they did on the day of Pentecost. You notice there's no sinner's prayer. There's no coming and saying the sinner's prayer and you're born again. Here is the formula. Here, I don't want to use that word formula. It sounds too mechanical, too procedural. But this is what the Word of God says in every case. Repent. Take the water baptism for the remission of sins. How many of you young people this morning have been thinking about taking the water baptism? I believe we have some in here that are thinking seriously about it. And I think the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. It's time to make a decision. It's time to say, Lord, I'm all in. I want the water baptism. I want to demonstrate. I want to testify that I belong to you, that I love you, that I'm going to follow you. That's what I'm going to do. And don't stop there. Water baptism doesn't save you. It's symbolic, but it doesn't save you. You need to become a member of the body of Christ. How does that happen? Paul writes in Corinthians, by one Spirit, Holy Spirit, we're baptized into the body. I mean, I thought if I just joined the church, I'm a member. You might be a member of the church. But to be a member of the body of Christ, you have to be born again. And that spiritual birth takes place when the Holy Spirit comes in, praise God, and takes up residence in your soul. Don't stop with the water baptism. Don't stop and say, well, I made a commitment. True, that's wonderful. Thank God. There's more that God has for you. It's not a litmus test. It's something God wants to bless you. God wants you to feel that life-giving flow of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to feel and be in communion with Him. He says, in that day, the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we belong to Him. No one has to tell you. The pastor doesn't have to say, well, you know, you're a member in good standing of the body of Christ. I can't say that. That's God that's got to say that. Praise the Lord. It is a... Can I read you something in John? He says in the first chapter, Gospel of John, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, now listen to this, not of blood, not relationship, blood relationship. In the priestly line in the old covenant, they were born into the priestly line. It was a blood relationship, but this is not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This born-again experience is heavenly. You have no control when it takes place. All you can do is submit your heart and ask the Lord to enter in. But he chooses when he comes in. He chooses when he baptizes you. You know, saying the sinner's prayer, well, I got born again. I've heard many times, some preachers, well, you know, say the sinner's prayer, you're born again. And I say, well, you know, I don't see one instance. I can't find one instance in the Word. Did Peter lead them in the sinner's prayer? No. When he went to Cornelius' home and preached the gospel to those Gentiles, did he lead them in the sinner's prayer? No. When Paul found those 12 disciples, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Did he lead them in the sinner's prayer? No, he rebaptized them because their baptism wasn't proper, but he then laid hands on them and they received the baptism because they heard them speak in tongues. You people are radical on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes, we are. Not because that's our thing, but we believe the Word of God teaches and preaches that. We believe you need it to live the life. You need it to experience the gifts of the Spirit. And when you come and say the sinner's prayer, that's your decision to do that. That's your decision. It's a good decision, thank God. You want to follow the Lord, that's great. But that's not what God says. Not by the will of man, nor will of the flesh, but of God. Did you have any control? You that are baptized, think about it. Did you have any control when you were baptized with the Holy Ghost? You didn't say, you know, this morning, I think I'm going to go get the Holy Ghost. You might have said, I want the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pray for the Holy Ghost. I want the baptism. I need the baptism, but God has to do it. And when he does it, it's perfect. It's beautiful. And it's irrefutable. Oh, Lord, help us this morning to understand your word. Now, that's just the beginning. Some people, you know, we've had some people have the impression, well, that's the end all. Baptized with the Holy Ghost, I'm good. I'm going to heaven. No, that's just the beginning. You're just a baby in Christ. And God wants to develop you. God wants to mature you. God wants to use you for the kingdom. Well, do I really need the Holy Ghost? Do I really need it? Is it? How are you going to live without it? Because Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What kind of power? You've heard me say this 100 times before. What kind of power is he talking about? To say no to sin, no to drugs, no to alcohol, no to sex, no to the things of this world, no to the relationships that are ungodly, no to the things that will lead us astray. The power to overcome, because the flesh is subjective, craves those things at times. The flesh is weak. What happened to Adam in the garden and Eve? God said, one thing, just don't eat of the fruit of this tree. You can have anything else, but don't eat of this fruit. One thing he asked him to do. And Satan came in with insidious ways. Did God say, are you sure you heard that right? Did God say? After all, look at that fruit. It's beautiful. I bet it's delicious. And she took a bite. And she went to Adam. And she batted her eyelashes at him. He said, oh, honey, rubbing his back. You got to try this. This is really good. Now, Eve, you know what God said? Oh, please, he may not have meant that. I'm ad-libbing a little bit here. But he fell. And immediately there was separation. Instead of waiting for God to visit them in the cool of the day, they hid themselves in the bushes. And they covered themselves because they were naked. Before, they didn't know it. But after sin came in, they knew it. And God came in and said, well, Adam, Eve, where are you? Oh, we're here. Why didn't you come out while we were naked? Who told you you were naked? In our humanity, we're weak. And we need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And even with the Holy Spirit, if we don't surrender, the Holy Spirit is not going to force you. Well, once I get the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be perfectly holy. No, you're not. Unless you surrender, unless you totally listen, totally give yourself to the Holy Spirit. And in our humanity, that is difficult. Because with our best efforts and with the Holy Spirit's help, we still fail the Lord. Not the Holy Spirit, but we fail the Lord. Because we have a choice to make. We can choose good or we can choose evil. And sometimes our humanity says, oh, just go ahead and do it. It's not so bad. Lord, help us. What will you have me to do? Does God have a calling on your life? God has something for you to do. I'm not just saying that to make everybody feel good. I'm telling you, we all have a mission in this life. There's something for us to do. God gave us these gifts. It says he ascended to heaven and gave gifts unto men. He gave us gifts that we may use it for the edifying of the body of Christ for the glory of God. He said, be fruitful. In the parable about the branch and the vine, he says, bear fruit. That's what your mission is, to bear fruit. Spiritual fruit he's talking about. Not to become strong, not to become wise and have wisdom and knowledge, knowledge of man, but spiritual wisdom, spiritual strength. Does God have a calling for you? Well, I'm just a teenager. I'm just a young person. I have my whole life. I want to serve God, but in the Word we find it is good for a young man to serve the Lord in his youth. Why would he write that? Why would he write that? To put a shackle, put a burden on young people? No. He knows that's the way of freedom. If you don't follow the ways of God when you're young, the enemy could lead you astray. The enemy could put a snare in your path and you may not even realize it. How many have we seen in this congregation who have left the Lord for a while in their youth? Got caught up in relationships, whatever the case, got involved in school or job situation, whatever it was, got away from God. Stopped coming to church. How did that happen? Were they bad people? No, the enemy put a snare out there. The enemy tried to distract and attract you and pull you away from God. Oh, hey, I want to live my life. I don't want this bondage of church. You mean I got to serve God and I can't go here and I can't go there? I want to be popular. I want people to like me. I want to have a lot of friends. That's great. But the Holy Spirit will lead you in a perfect path. Well, I can be happy in this life. I've got a good mind. I'm mature. I make good decisions. And if those decisions take you away from God, they're not good decisions. And we, the parents and grandparents, and members of this congregation, we weep over you. We cry. And we hold you up before the throne of grace because we know the end it could possibly be. And the only real joy and satisfaction is serving Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know. I think I'm doing pretty good. Got a good thing going at school or work, and everybody seems to like me. Do you feel the presence of God with you? Do you have that assurance in your soul? Do you have that hope of eternal life? Paul wrote in Corinthians, and we preach this in the funeral sermons many times, we know if this earthly tabernacle, were to be dissolved, we have a body not made with hands in the heavens. And he writes, this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption, will be raised with a new body. A new life. And sighing and sorrow and sadness will flee away because we're going to be with the Lord forever. Oh, praise God. Oh, that seems so pie in the sky. That seems so far away. Oh, can't I just enjoy my life? You want to enjoy your life? Give it to Jesus. Paul calls him a bond slave of Jesus Christ. You want to be free? Become a slave of Jesus Christ. That's how you be free. Brother Ron, that makes no sense. Oh no, it makes perfect sense. Because he sets us free. He that hath the Son is free indeed. Praise God. Peter said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, were there any qualifications on that? None. None. It's not your bloodline. It's not your accomplishments. It's not who you know. It's not where you go to church. It's one-on-one, you and the Lord. He goes on to say, the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That sounds with no limit. 2023. The promise is still the same. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. They were pricked in their heart and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What are you going to do with the truth of the gospel? I didn't lay this out anywhere near as eloquent as Peter did. But it is the truth. What are you going to do with the truth of the gospel? You see, and now you've heard it, and you're accountable and responsible for what you've heard. Well, I didn't accept it. I don't care what the pastor said. I didn't accept it. It doesn't matter if you accept it or not. It's still the truth. Well, I don't think it's the truth. That's fine. I've said this, and we talked about this in the last Bible class in the back. And I've said this from the pulpit before, and I'll say it again. Go over my head. Go directly to the Lord. Lord, is what he is saying, is that true? Is he telling me the truth? Is he preaching the truth? Is he holding forth what you said in your word? I got to know. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be led astray. He may be thinking he's doing the right thing, but I want to hear it from you. Never forget the testimony of our brother Fred. When he first came to this congregation, he picked up right away on the necessity of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't optional. It was a necessity. We say that on our website. It's not optional. We believe this is what the Word of God teaches, and we believe it sincerely. It's not a cult. It's not, well, this is our thing. No, it's what we believe the Word of God says. And he says, you know what? I didn't ask anyone. I didn't talk to the pastor. I didn't talk to deacons. I didn't talk to any members of the church. I prayed about it. And I said, Lord, is this the truth? Is this the thing? And you know what? He said, the Lord confirmed his word to me. This was absolutely right. God doesn't need our affirmations. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say, well, because Brother Fred said it, it must be true. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you have a question, sincerely have a question. Is this absolutely necessary? Do I need this to serve Jesus Christ? Then ask the Lord. Go to him directly. Lord, please lay it out to me. He will surely answer you. Praise God. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? The Holy Spirit is asking you that right now. What shall we do? What shall you do? I want a closer walk. Do we not all want a closer walk with the Lord? Just one or two? I didn't hear many amens there. I know you do. Oh, God, help us this morning. I believe God wants to raise up ministries. I believe he wants to use us in ways that we just, our minds are not open to that yet. But I pray the Holy Spirit opens our minds. Because we need to see young people on fire for God. We need to see them proclaiming the good news of the gospel. We have a lot of older folks in this place, me being one of the first. We need, as long as the Lord tarries, we need the younger ones to come up and get into the reins and say, Lord, use me. All these disciples were young men when Jesus called them. They were young men. We think, you know, we see pictures in books and that, and, you know, Paul's got a long beard and he looks old, and they all looked old. Even when they were young, they looked old. But they were young men. God called them. Well, I'm only 18 years old. Well, if God doesn't limit you, why would you limit yourself? God uses us for the kingdom. Remember the Great Commission. I'm going to close, I promise. I just feel the Holy Spirit this morning. I don't want to prolong this message. Sisters, brother, sisters, would you come forward? He says, go ye therefore and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or end of the age. Teaching them to observe all things. Mothers and fathers, you could be teachers in your own home by your example, by your encouragement, by your walk. Teaching them to observe all things that he commanded us. Oh Lord, help us this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit deal with each of us this morning. This question has been in my heart all week. Lord, what will you have me to do? What will you have me to do? We limit ourselves. Do we not? I can't do that. I'm not talented. I don't have this ability. I never thought we'd have videos on YouTube. I still can't get over that. And I'm not pointing to us. We're all three of us feel like, who are we? And you notice we don't put likes on there and. It's not that we don't want you to not like us, but that's not the issue. We don't want to be popular. We just want to get the gospel message out. We want you to hear the good news. You don't remember who we are, that's fine. That's not the issue. It's the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. We want you to know Christ. We want you to make heaven your home. Lord, what things do you have for us to do? Open our minds to the possibility. The Lord is coming soon. I'm not trying to, bring fear. And that's not the issue. The Lord is coming soon. We know. We see the signs all around us. So what's the mission? Is to get the gospel message out, to reach out to the lost. You don't want to miss heaven. Oh, I don't think it's that serious. Oh, no, it's that serious. You don't want to miss heaven. May the Lord touch you this morning. May the Lord help us. May his name be praised. Do we have a song?